Good morning, and on behalf of the consistory of our church, I wish all of you a blessed Thanksgiving Day. May you and your family gather in unity under God's abundant grace today, praising and thanking Him for His abundant goodness to us all. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Hear the word of the Lord. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Many families, and perhaps you as well, will be doing this afternoon, have the tradition on Thanksgiving of going around the family table and telling each other what you're thankful for. And it's really easy for the first few people to come up with things to be thankful for. They can choose the obvious ones. But if you're a little further down the line, it's more difficult for these people who are further along the table, because they have to put more effort into it. They have to rack their brains. They have to become more imaginative in order to have an original item to be thankful for. It takes work to call to mind the things that we should be thankful for. There are the obvious ones, but there are also those things that don't readily come to mind, or there are those things that are so obvious that we forget about them. I hope that over this Thanksgiving, we each take the time to meditate on the Lord's goodness, to meditate on His graciousness to us, and to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving within us, thanking the Lord, thanking Him for all the benefits that He provides us with. I hope we make an effort. To be thankful does take effort. And David shows us this here in this psalm. He begins Psalm 103 by exclaiming, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." David is making an effort here to praise the Lord. This is not something that he's doing really easily. He's putting effort in here. He's telling himself with his whole being to praise the Lord. He doesn't want to grow cold. He doesn't want to forget about the Lord's benefits to him. So he urges himself on to bless the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon says of David here that he soliloquizes. That means he talks to himself. He holds self-communion and exhorts himself as though he felt that dullness would all too soon steal over his faculties, as indeed it will over us all, unless we are diligently on the watch. Now, it is true that thankfulness to the Lord, praise to the Lord, can sometimes flow easily from our hearts. But at other times, and maybe in this season of Thanksgiving, we need to make it a discipline. We need to make an effort to praise God. We need to make it an effort to thank the Lord for His abundant goodness. And it's not because there aren't enough things to thank the Lord for. John Calvin says, "God is not deficient on His part in furnishing us with abundant matter for praising Him. But rather, it is our own ingratitude which hinders us from engaging in this exercise." We know that we can quickly adopt an attitude of entitlement or ingratitude. We know how easily we can forget to be thankful. But yet the Lord, because He is Almighty God, because He is ruler and judge of the earth, He has every right to demand our praise. He has every right to demand our thanksgiving. He is owed it simply because of His glory and because of His might. He not only has every right to our praise and thanksgiving because of who He is, but He also has every right to thanksgiving because of what He has done. His care for us, the mercy and grace that He pours out upon us, the justice He affords us, the patience He exercises with us, the hope He gives us all of these are undeserved blessings from Him. Our Lord doesn't need our praise and thanksgiving, but His work and His being demands it of us. Our God is a good God. If He left us in our sin, if no saving or common grace was given to us, His being would still be worthy of praise and thanksgiving. But our Lord, and in my inadequate way of describing it, has gone far above and beyond because He has poured out His mercy and grace upon us. And therefore, He is worthy of infinite praise and thanksgiving. And one other little nugget that's amazing to consider, that such a mighty, such a powerful Lord, that He delights in our praise. He delights in our thanksgiving. So therefore, this Thanksgiving, let us take the effort like David did, and let us, like him, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. In our message this morning, we're looking at Psalm 103, where David calls us, and this is the title of our sermon, to give thanks to the Lord for all his benefits. For he forgives our sins, he redeems us from destruction, and he satisfies us with good things. And lastly, he rules over all. David begins with what his heart is most thankful for, the forgiveness of his sins. He realizes that this is the foundational blessing from God. As John Calvin says, this is the fountain from which all other blessings flow. We do not know when David wrote this psalm, but we do know that David was someone who truly experienced God's grace toward sinners. David knew that he was guilty before God. He knew that he stood justly condemned before God, that he didn't deserve any of God's blessings. But he believed and he knew that God had forgiven him his iniquity. And David also knew and believed that God was healing him from the corrupting influence of sin, healing him from all, as this psalm says, all of his diseases. Now, diseases here can be interpreted to refer to a physical ailment, but the context of this particular psalm makes it clear that David here is referring to moral or spiritual disease. David, in remembering God's benefits to him, first remembers the Lord's blessings of salvation to him, the blessing of restoration. And in verses 11 and 12, he goes on to reveal the enormity of God's forgiveness to him. He says here, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." As far as the heavens extend above the earth, and as far as the east is from the west, so far hath God taken our sins from us. This is an infinite distance. David is confessing here that his sins are infinitely removed from him. And when we as believers contemplate the benefits and blessings that we receive from our Lord, like David, the thing that immediately is in our mind, like David does here, we think of the Lord's wonderful blessing of forgiveness and redemption that he has given to us. When we as believers think of what we need to be thankful for, the first thing that comes to mind is the great gift of salvation that the Lord has given to us. For this has become central in our lives. Jesus has become our life. We live out of him. We daily need him. We daily need his grace. So when we count our blessings, when we remember the Lord and his benefits, when we contemplate things to thank the Lord for, what immediately comes to our minds is salvation through Jesus Christ. Because the Lord has given us life. He has caused us to be born again. He has made us alive. We who were once enemies are now his adopted sons and daughters. And as sons and daughters, we now share in the inheritance of his Holy Son. Our sins are gone. They're wiped away by Jesus' blood. And the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, has healed us from all our spiritual and moral diseases. We don't see or feel the total fulfillment of this yet, but its fulfillment is so sure that it is as if it has already happened. We yet need to struggle and fight against our disease, But in the economy of grace, it is already gone. And we get to live this out in steady increments. Our hearts are now being changed through the grace of God. Our sins are slowly being stripped away, and we are being gloriously remade into the image of Christ. We see and feel a little bit of this now, but the total, but an existence of being corruption and disease free, this existence awaits us. This is why we can exclaim, as David did, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us, infinite mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I can't think of any greater distance. Gone. If you're a Christian, your sins are gone forever. This is the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. This is the reality of who you will be. This is true for you if you are a Christian. And so we have this Thanksgiving, and maybe many more. And we have all eternity to praise and thank the Lord for his wonderful work of salvation. That he has forgiven us. That we have been restored into fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. David next praises the Lord for redeeming his life from destruction, or more literally, the pit. What he is trying to communicate here is that the Lord has redeemed him from the grave. He has saved him from death and crowned him with loving kindness and tender mercies, crowned him with his covenantal, never-ending, and absolute love. As Christians, it is true that the Lord has saved us from death. He saved us from eternal death. But there's more here than saving us just from eternal death. The psalmist doesn't only have the eternal in mind here, but also the present. Yes, it is wonderfully true that the Lord saves us from hell, and that we will be crowned with love and mercy and glory. But he also, to a certain degree, here now saves us from the destructive power of sin. The Lord today saves us from a type of death in this life as well. He saved us from the death of sin, the pit of living this life, entirely consumed and governed by our corrupt nature. But thankfully, by God's grace, we experience being crowned with our Lord's loving kindness and tender mercy. We experience the benefits here and now of living out of him, of living a sanctified life, of enjoying him here first before we enjoy him forever. Dear Christian, have you ever thought about what your life would be like without the grace of God? You've heard the saying there, but for the grace of God, go I. Where would you be? What would your life look like? What would your family look like? How awful would it be to live this life without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? How awful to not experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the peace and joy of a sanctified life. How dreadful to awake each morning knowing that you're not being redeemed from sin by your Savior. I've never met a Christian who wishes they could go back. I've never met a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ who wished they weren't. Now it is true there are those who have apostatized from the faith. But I'm talking here about people who are really Christians, people who really love the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never met a believer who wished they could have the world and all that entails instead of knowing and following Jesus Christ. Are there some of you here who don't know him? You haven't been delivered from the destructive power of sin. You're still embracing it. You do not wake up each morning. You do wake up each morning not redeemed from your sin, and it doesn't bother you. You wake up each morning not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You wake up each morning without the Holy Spirit. And yet, as you sit here this Thanksgiving, there is much that you must be thankful for. You sit here hearing God's word, a recipient of his covenant promises. You sit here and God has poured out his common blessings upon you. You have received much and have much to be thankful for. But you need saving grace. You need to be saved from your sin. So I urge you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look at the Lord's goodness, to look at his mercy, the mercy that he pours out, to flee to him, to repent of your sins, to believe the gospel, so you can wake up each morning knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord delivers us from the destructive power of sin, and he redeems us from eternal life itself. We can't forget this. We can't forget that the Lord does deliver us from the grave. He does deliver us from death. The Lord Jesus redeems us from destruction. David uses the word here, redeemed, implying that the Lord bought us. He paid the price for us so that we can be delivered from death. Jesus delivered us from death by going down to the pit for us. Jesus delivered us by going to death himself so that we don't need to go to eternal death. And then he arose from the dead and he ascended into heaven where he was crowned. His ascension was his coronation, where he was crowned king. Jesus did all of this, ascending and sitting at the right hand of the Father. So as it says in this psalm, so that he could crown us with loving kindness and tender mercy. The Lord delivers us from the corruption of guilt. He delivers us from the guilt of sin so that we can enjoy his love and his mercy. And David tells us in verses 8 through 10 that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And he does not deal with us as our sins would demand. Instead, he reveals himself to us. He condescends to our level. As it says in this psalm, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So much more has the Lord made himself known to us, showing us himself, that he is our God, that he is our King, that he is our Savior. He has shown us everything we need for salvation, everything we need for eternal life. And so when we wake up each morning, even the Lord may have placed large burdens upon us this day, we as believers awake with amazing hope, surrounded with the infinite love and mercy of our Lord, looking to a future free from death and destruction. These present sufferings that we endure are but spurs. That urge us to look to Jesus. They're but blips on our eternal timeline of enjoying God forever. Our God is abounding in mercy and loving kindness. And this is evident how he has dealt with us, his covenant people. Not only in terms of the redemptive blessings that he gives us, but also the daily and temporal blessings he pours out upon us. For he satisfies us with good things. David speaks of the Lord who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And so the Lord satisfieth us with good things. He cares for us and provides us with far more than he promises. If we look at Scripture, we see that he promises to care for us as he cares for the sparrow. He's abundantly provided us with good things. He gives us so many daily blessings. You know, we often hear about the good old days, the days when everything was better. Really? Were things better then? I know that if I was given the option to live a couple of hundred years ago or today, I would choose to live today. David is thanking the Lord for satisfying him with good things. But if you think about it, we live better than David did. We have many more creature comforts than he did. Just think of the comforts of our homes, not to mention the blessings of modern medicine. If it wasn't for these means that God has given us, if it wasn't for modern medicine, how many of us wouldn't be here? What would our church look like this morning? I know that I probably wouldn't be here. But here in the West, the Lord has consistently blessed us with a plentiful harvest as well. None of us are starving. We eat better than David did. We have a vast array of delicious food to eat. The Lord blesses us with much sustenance. We have shelter. We have homes to keep us warm in summer and cool in winter, cars and trucks to take us to Costco and to Meijer and to other stores full of merchandise that David couldn't even begin to imagine existed. The Lord indeed is gracious to us. He indeed satisfies us with good things. And this is only the material blessings I'm speaking of here. But the Lord also provides us with more good things that have a more lasting value. For the Lord has sustained us and he has blessed us, his covenant people. He has graciously provided for us. He's graciously provided for our families. He's blessed our marriages. He's blessed our children. He has provided us with fellow saints to worship together with. He has graciously given us Christian education, the blessing of being able to raise and educate our children according to a Christian worldview. Let us not forget the blessedness of our Lord's covenant promises, the fact that he promises to work in our children's hearts. So let our hope be in these promises, just as David's hope was. He says in verse 17 and 18, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." We see here in our church that the Lord is faithful to his covenant promises. We see here in our church a new generation, a generation that the Lord, in which the Lord is working. And we pray that he would continue to work so that each of our children, each of his covenant children, come to know him and come to serve him. And so we must confess that the Lord indeed is merciful to us. And we need to take these covenant promises seriously, working to instruct and to teach our children in the law and gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. David next moves on to say that the Lord knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. This, of course, is referring to us. We fade. We all return to the dust. We are not remembered. In 100 to 200 years from now, how many of us will be remembered? As the flower lives and dies and is gone and forgotten, so we will be forgotten. But our Lord and his word, they endure forever. He is a sure foundation that we can depend on. He is a rock upon which we can place our trust. And as we head into the unknown future, he does not forget us. But he remembers our frame. He remembers who we are. He remembers his covenant mercies. Our Lord gives us the best blessing. He gives us himself. The Lord gives us these blessings. He gives us himself so that our youth would be renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives us good things to revive us. He gives us good things to renew us. The Lord gives us good things because he cares for us, because he loves us. But there's also a responsibility that goes along with these blessings. He gives us this energy. He gives us this strength, this intellect. He gives us these material blessings. He gives us these spiritual blessings so that we would be a blessing, so that we would use these resources for his honor and for his kingdom. We are never to be stagnant pacifists in his kingdom, doing the least, using as little of the gifts and talents he has given us. As Christians, we are to be active participants, using the blessings that we have received for the good of his universal kingdom, a kingdom over which he, our sovereign Lord, reigns supreme. Therefore, as we contemplate how the Lord has blessed us over this past year, let us think about how we can be a blessing to those around us. Here at church, at school, doing evangelism in our broader community. Let us not hoard the spiritual and material blessings of the Lord to ourselves, but seek to use these blessings for the building up and extension of his kingdom. David speaks of the Lord ruling over all in verse 19. He says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." When we think of a ruler, when we think of a king or a dictator, we often associate their rule with oppression, injustice, and corruption, things that are very real in every kingdom that is in this world, every kingdom, that nation and kingdom that has ever existed in this world. And this is true for every kingdom except God's kingdom. This is true for every ruler except for the supreme ruler of the universe. For our king is a perfect king. He is an infinitely good king. He is a perfectly wise, merciful, gracious, and just king. So what a blessing on Thanksgiving to be able to thank our God. What a blessing it is that our God rules over all, that he is in control, that nothing that is occurring is outside of His hands. Let us give thanks to our God, as David says here in verse 6, who executeth righteousness and judgment over all that are oppressed. Our God is not a tyrant that oppresses those He rules over, but He is a God that will bring judgment upon the oppressor. Our God is a God who will take all that is wrong, and He will make it right. As a righteous ruler, He rights the wrong of sin. It is either punished in Jesus Christ, or you as a sinner pay the eternal price yourself. Our Lord is the curse reverser. He reverses the effects of sin upon His people. He reverses the effects of sin upon His creation. And as we sit here in this world, seeing injustice going on, as we sit here in this world and seeing the effects of sin, the truth and the reality of this can be hard for us to believe. As we live onward, as we carry crosses, as we see the wicked thrive, we may question whether God really is in control. We may question whether everything will be made right. And as I look around this congregation, I know that many of you are hurting. And I know that on this Thanksgiving, many of you maybe are finding it hard to be thankful. Perhaps you're getting older and your body and mind are breaking down. Perhaps you're experiencing division or disappointment in your family. You're battling a particular sin, or perhaps you've been hurt or maligned by someone you trusted, or perhaps you're dealing with depression or mental illness of some sort. You have been called to bear a heavy cross, to go through hard circumstances. And maybe for some of you, these are circumstances you don't know if you'll be able to make it through. You're a Christian, and you know that your Lord loves you, but lots of times it doesn't feel like it. You say, if He really loves me, why do I have to go through this? Why can't I be celebrating all these good things on Thanksgiving like others are? Why do I have to go through this trial all by myself? Dear suffering brother or sister in Christ, come with me now. Take with you your burdens. Take with you your sorrows, and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Yes, the Lord, according to His sovereign good pleasure, is causing you to go through these trials. Maybe He is chiding you. Maybe He is using this so that you would shine brighter. But He is using it so that you would grow in grace. He is using it for His glory. But it will come to an end. David says in verse 9, He will not forever chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Though you find it hard to shout with thanksgiving this Thanksgiving day, know, dear child of God, that the Lord will deliver you from your trouble. He will not forever chide. He may be calling you for a season to endure trouble. He may be calling you to suffer great things, even to the end of your life. But I urge you this Thanksgiving season to consider who your Lord is. Consider what he has done for you. Consider who he has made you to be, a forgiven sinner held in the arms of your Savior, Jesus Christ, your Savior who has delivered you from death and destruction and who will give you a multitude of good things. Consider your greater reality, not a separate reality, but an enduring one, one that will last forever. A reality that is hard to believe, but one that is so unlike, so different than the pain and sorrow you are experiencing right now. For the day is coming, and even here in your trial, even in the pain that you are in, he gives you glimpses of it. The day is coming, the great day of thanksgiving, the day when your heart will be full. When you will be joyously singing songs of eternal thanksgiving unto your Lord. But for now, on this side of glory, knowing God himself, no matter what season of life we are in, provides us with a feast of thanksgiving. In want or in famine, your God is good. In joy or sorrow, he is present with you. We have an infinitely good God who is worthy of all thanksgiving. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred up as David's was. I exhort you and myself to see the greater reality of the gospel, the greater reality of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our hearts, that from our hearts, we would praise our Savior, that we would call to the angels as David in this psalm does to praise him. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our faithful Lord in heaven, we confess our unthankfulness, our ingratitude. But Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace and pray that this would shine in our hearts, that our hearts would be filled with praise, that our hearts would be filled with thankfulness to thee this Thanksgiving. Lord, for there is no better way to live for now or forever than with thankful hearts to thee. So let this be our reality each and every day, living our lives out of thankfulness for thee. And so show those here who don't know this, who don't know what they are missing, show them that they need thee and that they would turn to thee and be born again. And so we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.